Everyone, welcome back to Time with Tracy, and this is your girl Tracy bringing you a new episode. Yes, I know it's been a while, been busy with working, you know, with students coming back onto campus. There's so much to plan, so many campaigns, so many orientation events, activities going on, but we are so excited because obviously we get to see each other face to face again, have face-to-face engagement and bonding, so that's amazing. On top of that, we are in Pride Month. Happy Pride, everyone. I went for my first Pride Parade and I had an amazing time, you know, handling the bubble machine. We matched with University of Manitoba and it was so amazing. People had so much fun. The energy was up. Then we went to the festival, had different foods from the food trucks and, you know, walked around with my friends. It was an amazing Sunday overall. I had a great experience. I'll definitely be looking forward to Pride next year as well. Alright, so this week I'm going to be bringing for us a different topic that we have not talked about, but I think is really, really important. So I'm wondering if I should give you the name of the topic now or right after this sound. Let's get into it. So this week, I'm going to be talking about something that is super important that our body needs to rejuvenate, to get some rest, to heal our wounds. Our body needs it to function. Our body needs it to, you know, go through our daily lives, which is sleep. But I'm going to specifically talk about insomnia. So insomnia is a sleep disorder in which you have trouble falling and or staying asleep. The first time I heard about insomnia, or the first time when I started understanding insomnia, I actually thought that it was all about not being able to sleep, or sorry, having trouble sleeping. But then when obviously you do more research and study more and all these things, you find out that if you're having trouble staying asleep, for example, this is not the same as you trying to take a nap for 1 hour, 30 minutes, 2 hours. This just means, like, in a whole, you're supposed to be having restful sleep, in that you should be, as you know, they say 6 to 8 hours of sleep. So if you're trying to sleep throughout the whole night and every time you go to bed, you're only able to sleep for 1 hour and then you wake up, or you're able to only sleep, you know, you're not even able to sleep already properly, and when you finally fall asleep, you're asleep for 1.5 hours or for 2 hours, and then you wake up and then you go back to sleep and then you wake up. So all that falls and can fall under insomnia. Another thing that makes insomnia actually almost the same as other disorders is that this condition can either be short term, which is called acute insomnia, or unfortunately, it can last a really long time, and hence it will be called chronic insomnia. Another thing about insomnia is it can come and go. So this means it can come and go depending on your moods, depending on the stress levels, depending on the situation that you might be going through. So this can be examples of maybe you'll have an interview approaching, or maybe you have flights approaching, or maybe you have exams that are coming up and all these things. So obviously you're under a bit of anxiety and stress, so you're not able to fall asleep for a bit of days. Acute insomnia usually lasts from one night to a few weeks, while the chronic insomnia happens at least 3 nights a week for more than 3 months or more. So I think why it is really important, or why I always emphasize being intentional about seeing how we are doing, is because it's very possible for you to have the come and go insomnia, but it might end up, you know, unfortunately sometimes going into acute insomnia. And the only way you might realize it is if you, for example, sit down and you're saying, oh, how have I been sleeping for the past days? Have I been feeling, have I been getting enough hours of sleep? And when you look into yourself, that's the only way you'll be able to know if you are sleeping properly, or maybe there's something wrong that you need to work on. Some other types of insomnia are primary insomnia, which means that your sleep problems aren't linked to any health condition or problem. Or you could have secondary insomnia, which means you have trouble falling asleep because of a health condition, or you have trouble falling or staying asleep because of a health condition. This could be asthma, depression, arthritis, cancer, all these kinds of stuff. Sometimes you'll hear about sleep onset insomnia, which means you have trouble getting to sleep. Other times you'll hear sleep maintenance insomnia. This happens when you have trouble staying asleep through the night, or you wake up too early. This is people obviously who set your alarms at like 6 and you're always waking up at 4, 3, or you set your alarm at 8, that kind of stuff. And then there's mixed insomnia. With this type of insomnia, you have trouble both falling asleep as well as staying asleep through the night. And then there is also paradoxical insomnia. When you have this, you underestimate the time you're asleep. It feels like you sleep a lot less than you really, really do. So that's some ways to think about it. What are some symptoms that I've already mentioned? Just to highlight, this is difficulty falling asleep, waking up through the night, waking up too early, increased errors or accidents, ongoing worries about sleep. I think the really important thing sometimes about discussing the different mental health disorders is that you see how they are similar and how they are different. In eating disorders, you find that some of them, one of their symptoms is ongoing obsession or worries about food, about what to eat and about what to put in your body, what not to put in your body, and all this stuff. And now when it comes to insomnia, you are having ongoing worries and concerns and thoughts about sleep. You start to get nervous when it's almost time to sleep, or when it's getting darker. So you see how sometimes it's just the difference in words, but most of the disorders will have similar symptoms. Some other symptoms for insomnia are difficulty paying attention, focusing on tasks or remembering. You might be irritable, you might have depression or anxiety. You'll have daytime tiredness or sleepiness. Sometimes even if you fall asleep, you won't feel well rested after the night's sleep because of the trouble of falling asleep, or even just staying asleep for a really longer time. Another thing I want to talk about is the causes of insomnia. Insomnia might have that specific cause or the specific primary issue, primary problem, but sometimes it might be, you know, associated with other conditions whereby insomnia is a symptom of a different condition, to explain it. Some common causes, as I mentioned, is stress. You know, concerns with like work, school, it could be your health, it could be your family, it could be your friends, all these different kinds of stuff. It could be stress from a traumatic event, stress from different life events building up. This could be death, this could be illness, divorce, all these kinds of stuff will make you have insomnia. And depending from where it might lie, maybe acute once in a while or chronic. Another one is your travel or work schedule, which I mentioned. So Your circadian rhythms act as an internal clock, which means this is basically your sleep cycle, whereby your body knows at this time I'm going to fall asleep, at this time this is when I wake up. It's just the cycle that your body goes through in metabolism and body temperature, all that kind of stuff. So when you travel here, and obviously you're changing the times that you have to sleep because of time zones and all these things, sometimes your body needs time to adjust, and that's when you have insomnia for a while, maybe when you move to a new place. Another one is poor sleeping habits. This is something that I feel is, I don't know if we don't put enough emphasis on it. And as I say this, I'm not even being judgmental for 1 second, because trust me, I know even me myself, I have poor sleeping habits. So this could include, you know, irregular bedtime schedule, which I feel like now that I started my 8:30 to 4:30 p.m. work schedule, it has been helping me kind of correct my sleep schedule in a way that I keep on telling myself, you know, by 11 I have to be asleep, or come, you know, to the worst 12 a.m. So irregular bedtime schedules is such a huge thing, because, you know, as you know, you might have a nice series that you might get really hooked onto, and for a while you might be sleeping at like 4 a.m., 5 a.m., and then after a while you might be sleeping at 8 p.m., 9 p.m. All when your schedule is very disorganized, it disorganizes your system. Taking so many naps, stimulating activities before bed, an uncomfortable sleep environment, using your bed for work, eating, or watching TV. This is so hard, first of all. Some of these things, I think our lifestyles just don't make it easy for us to go through life. I'll give an example of if someone is living in a two-bedroom apartment, whereby sometimes you find people rent out their living rooms as well. So which means you're staying in your room more often. So you'll get your food, come here. Come to your bedroom. You know you want to study, you'll be in your bedroom. Sometimes you want to study in your bed, or it's even much more convenient to watch TV, watch shows in your bed. So sometimes I feel like when you don't have the full facilities to go through the right procedures, it's very difficult for us as human beings. Another cause of insomnia is eating too much late in the evening. I don't know if you guys have heard about when they say do not eat after, I think, is it 8 p.m., 9 p.m.? I think it's 8 p.m. But you'll find most times, obviously, as I said, sometimes life just can't allow us to have these perfect schedules. Why? You might be a person who works in the evenings. When I say the evenings, you work, let's say, 3 to 9, 3 to 10, or maybe even if you don't work at that time, but maybe you finish work late, so you're going to end up eating a bit later, you're going to end up cooking a bit later in the evening, and all this stuff. So sometimes our schedules don't allow us. And don't get me wrong, eating a light snack before bed is fine, but I mean like a whole meal, or like your dinner. I mean, we used to sometimes... I eat dinner at like 11 p.m. I'm trying to stop it, but yes, that's one of the issues as well. Another one is the additional common causes, as I talked about, are, you know, mental health disorders, as insomnia can come due to anxiety disorders, depression, PTSD. It can fall under there. And then there are some medications as well that cause insomnia, or that make your sleep schedule not as regular as it should be. Then there might be medical conditions. And another important one for this generation is caffeine, nicotine, and alcohol. Some of these, literally all that I've mentioned, are stimulants. So if you are drinking coffee, let's say late in the evening, you won't have an easy time falling asleep, because the coffee has, you know, those stimulants that are keeping you awake for a longer period of time, or that are supposed to keep you awake for a longer period of time. So these are some of the causes of insomnia that we see. I guess you're wondering, am I at risk of facing a disorder like insomnia? Unfortunately, if you identify as a woman or if you are a woman, insomnia affects women more than men and older people more than younger ones. And I can understand maybe, I think it depends also on the different stress levels that we have, and I think it also depends in the biology, and maybe that's why women might be affected more than men, or older people might be affected more than the younger ones. Also, young and middle-aged African Americans have a higher risk of developing insomnia. Other risk factors are long-term illnesses. If you have mental health issues, insomnia is a really high risk for you. What if you work night shifts or shifts that rotate? Because, as we know, that's why I keep on emphasizing, sometimes it's just life. If a person obviously works night shifts, they're not going to get the regular sleep cycle of, it's called melatonin. When, yes, it's called melatonin, and when, or rather, which is a hormone. Melatonin is a hormone that's released in our bodies when our body realizes or senses that it's nighttime in order for us to sleep. So when the melatonin is continuously, obviously released at night, but you work night shifts, your schedule is going to be a bit messed up because when there is sunlight, the melatonin in your body will be less than it should be at night. But at night you are working, and hence you have to sleep during the day. So those are some of the risk factors that someone who works at night faces. How would you get an insomnia diagnosis? I always tell people, even though I give you all these examples and I give you some highlights about what is used to diagnose these diseases and all these things, I would like to clarify, I am not yet a certified psychologist, or I have not yet finished my degree of psychology, so I cannot diagnose anyone, and I'm neither a medical doctor as well. But obviously, when you go to a medical doctor, when you go to a doctor, you'll get a physical exam. They'll ask you about your medical history, they'll ask you about your sleep history, and they might tell you actually to start a sleep diary for a week or two. And what the sleep diary does is it helps you keep track of your sleep patterns and how you're feeling during the day. Sometimes, because of the way our memory works, you might not be able to remember what you are feeling at this specific time, or you might go through your day and you might not remember the exact time that you woke up and how long you woke up, how long you are asleep for, and all these things. But a sleep diary helps you give the correct information accurately as well to the doctor in order for them to see what exactly is going on to you. Sometimes they might also ask your partner or your bed partner, even if you're sleeping with someone else, or whether it's in a relationship or your brother or sister, whoever you're sleeping with, just about how well you're sleeping. Maybe are you tanning in your sleep? All these kinds of questions, just to know exactly what might be going on. And sometimes you might have special tests at a sleep center as well. Next thing I want to talk about is, you might be wondering, yes, we've talked about insomnia and now understanding, and you're speaking to me basically, but you're telling yourself as well that, hey, I'm now understanding the effects of insomnia. I'm understanding how serious it can be. I'm understanding how it can affect my life, my work life, my school life, my concentration, how it can affect my mood. But how can I get treated for insomnia? What is the treatment? How will I be helped when I go to ask for help? One thing is to note is that acute insomnia might not need treatment because it might become you might get healed over time. And if it's hard for you to do daily activities or everyday activities because of how tired you are due to the insomnia, your doctor might prescribe you sleeping pills for a short time. And of course, medicines that work quickly but briefly can help you avoid problems like drowsiness for the next day. Another thing is, do not use over-the-counter sleeping pills for insomnia, because these might have side effects and sometimes they tend to work less well over time. For chronic insomnia, you'll need treatment for the conditions or the health conditions that are keeping you awake and are keeping you from having, you know, falling asleep. And this is where sometimes you find that even if when you have insomnia, they might suggest for you therapy. It could be behavior therapy, or it could be because of maybe you're having insomnia because of your thinking pattern and your relationship with sleep. They might, you know, prescribe cognitive behavior therapy, that kind of stuff. But therapy usually helps you go through and understand how to make your sleep better. Some other types of therapies you might undergo is stimulus control, and this technique teaches you to get out of bed and find a quiet and relaxing activity until you feel sleepy, limiting the time that you spend lying awake and worrying about falling asleep. Another technique is sleep restriction, which first restricts and then gradually increases the amount of time you spend in bed, which can help you improve sleep efficiency and sleep quality. Another one is bright light therapy. So this technique involves exposure to bright light in the morning or evening, depending on whether you have more trouble falling asleep or staying asleep. Other recommendations, you know, they might tell you is obviously avoid drinking caffeinated beverages near bedtime, eating large heavy meals or spicy foods close to time. They might tell you getting into intensive exercise near bedtime. Actually, this is amazing, because I think I've had this in another, I've had someone talk about how they were having trouble sleeping, but when they started working out before they went to bed, they were, or not right before, but around the time before bed, because they were exhausted from like working out and their body was tired and needed rest, it made it easier for them to fall asleep in the long run, which is interesting, because most times with exercise, you might think that it will just wake you up there and then. Also, limiting the number of things that you use your bed for, basically to limiting it to sleep as well. As I end this episode, I just wanted to highlight some of the ways that we can prevent insomnia, or some of the ways that we can push ourselves to have good sleeping habits or to have good sleep hygiene in order for us to beat insomnia or to not face the issue of insomnia. So I'm going to be giving you some tips that I got from different websites and different information sessions that I've had as well, and from class too. Number one is go to sleep at the same time each night. And yes, I know it's not the easiest thing to always be going to bed at 9 p.m. or to always be going to bed at 10 p.m. But also, it's actually important to wake up at the same time each morning. Why? I already mentioned this. Sleep routine is really important, because your body, when your body gets into a routine of this is the time I'm going to take to rest, and also this helps you get enough hours of rest. Two, try not to take naps during the day, because they might make you less sleepy at night. And this is really true. That's why you see sometimes when young children take naps, parents will take them to the park so that they can play and play and play and kind of tire them out in order for them to be able to fall asleep easily at night. So that's why sometimes taking naps, you might take a nap and the nap might take longer than the 1 hour that you planned for it to be, and it will make you less sleepy at night. Another one that, oh my God, I feel like this is something that they have talked about so much. And yes, I'm going to be the broken record that's repeating it once again. Do not use phones or e-books before bed. their light can make it harder for you to fall asleep. And you might be wondering, how is that possible? How does that work? This is due to the whole melatonin that I explained a bit earlier. The light from your phone and from the gadgets that you're using right before bed, you know, points directly to your eyes. And you know how I say that the melatonin obviously comes more and more when you're exposed to this darkness that's letting your body know that, hey, it's time for bed. But the lights that are coming right into your eyes from these gadgets kind of tell your body that, hey, it's not yet time to sleep, making it harder for you to fall asleep. Avoid caffeine, nicotine, and alcohol late in the day, as these are stimulants that stop you from falling asleep. Well, for alcohol, well, it might make you fall asleep because you're probably drunk. Usually it will wake you up in the middle of the night, and this will hurt your sleep quality. Get regular exercise. As I said, don't, when they say regular exercise, don't necessarily exercise like 2 minutes to bed, right? Like you exercise right before bed, because as I said, that will make you be awake, but exercising closer to bedtime. So this could be 2, 3, or 4 hours before bed, so that your body is getting, you know, rejuvenated, but at the same time, it's just needing time to rest, and that will force you to fall asleep way easily compared to if you had not done the exercise a bit of some time before bed. Do not eat a heavy meal late in the day, as I said. Make your bedroom comfortable. This could mean dark, quiet, not too cold, not too warm. If light is a problem, maybe, I know during the summer, as we all know, that if you're a person who goes to bed at like 8 p.m. or 9 p.m., the sun is still going to be out. So you can try and use a sleeping mask. Or as I said, in the summer too, you might wake up a bit earlier than anticipated because of the light. So please feel free to use a sleeping mask as well. Another one is don't use your bed for anything other than sleep. I talked about it. Follow a routine to relax before bed. This is important. Why? If you take a bath before bed, that's totally relaxing. You can read a book before bed, listen to music before bed. This just helps your body keep calm and realize that, hey, it's now time for me to let go and breathe. Meditation is also really good before bed. So try those kinds of stuff. Another one is, if you have been trying to fall asleep and you're not feeling sleepy, you're drowsy, get up and do something calming. So you could get up and do one of the suggestions that I've talked about until you feel sleepy. If you tend to worry or to stay up late worrying about stuff, make a to-do list before bed. This might help put your concerns aside for the night. Because as I mentioned earlier, anxiety can make it a little bit difficult for you to fall asleep or for you to easily fall asleep during the night. So that concludes the end of my episode. I hope you guys learned a bit of what insomnia is and how it can look like. And I just hope that all of you can be able to recognize it in yourselves. And I hope this episode, even if you don't have insomnia, I hope this episode will encourage you and push you to having good sleep hygiene or good sleeping habits in order for you to keep your body healthy and to keep your mind strong as well. So this was Tracy again. Thank you so much for listening to my episode. I'll be seeing you Tuesday next time as well, 5:30 p.m. only on UMFM. Have a blessed week.